We've been talking about a subject, and one of the things I love about being here, I mean, such an honor to be here. Hour of Power is always a wonderful time to be here, but speaking here and being a part of a pastoral staff is a real blessing because you get an opportunity to share things in depth that you may not be able to do if you weren't pastoring. You know, if you go into a church and you're only going to be there one time, you can speak once and you better speak fast if you want to get everything out that you want to say. But in being a part of a pastoral staff, you can come back and talk about the same subject and you can pick up where you left off. And because of the technology that we have in this day that we live in, you can go back and here's a quick plug for the Rhema USA app. You could download the Rhema USA app and any of the teachings that we have, you can go back and listen to those things. And so if somebody is teaching in series, you can go back and listen to them over and over. This will dovetail into what I've been talking about. I'm talking about a subject I'm calling Be Spirit-Led Instead. But Pastor Hagen at Hour of Power was sharing about being led. And you'll find some things. He said some things in a way that I believe will bless you if you go back and listen to what he said about that, talking about our thoughts and controlling our thoughts and understanding how to be led by the Holy Spirit just recently. So, but our scripture text, and we're going to go over what I'm going to do is quickly, I'll give you the points that I've made so far, I promise quickly, and we're going to get to some new stuff this evening, we'll give you the points that we've made so far, and then we'll just continue on from there if you'll believe God with me. Our scripture text comes from Romans 8:14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. And we had asked this question to you, what am I allowing to lead me? Because we said everyone is led by something. You're being led by something, whether you understand it or realize it or not, something is always leading us, something that we've experienced, a thought, someone else's ideas, but we're being led by something. Maturing people, this scripture in Romans 8 is talking about the sons of God. It means the maturing ones. People who are maturing in the Lord are not being led by other things. They're being led by the Spirit of God, what God is saying to them. Amen? And so we said this to you, to be led by the Spirit is to yield to the Spirit's leading over any other voice. It means following God's leading instead of our natural impulses. It means choosing His way instead of our feelings. You know, feelings are a lousy indicator of truth because your feelings can change in a moment. You know, you ever been on your way to work and somebody cuts you off in traffic and all of a sudden you feel some kind of way? You know, you think, if I could be riding with them right now, we'd have a come to Jesus moment. But you catch yourself later and you realize that would have been the wrong thing to do. Your feelings change and you know that would have been a bad idea, right? Feelings change quickly. We don't want to be led by something that changes constantly. You want to be led by a constant, a voice that's constant. Well, you know, what's more constant than God? The scripture tells us he's the Lord and he doesn't change. Amen? So our points so far have been this. The first point that we made was to be spirit-led instead of being led by externals. We asked you, are we going to be led by what's happening around us or what God is saying within us? God leads based on what he knows. And I want you, if you don't get anything else out of that point, I want you to get this from this point. God leads based on what he knows. I think if we're honest, all of us should live our life. We don't live our lives by what we don't know. We live our lives by what we do know. Isn't that right? And here's a thing that I do know that helps me out a lot. God knows more than me. He knows things that I don't know. He understands things that I don't yet understand. Isn't that right? And so how many of you know this? The one who knows the most ought to be the one that's doing the leading. There are things that we don't know. I've had to work on my car before. There are things that I don't do on my car because I don't know how to do them. I have to make a decision. I can't be led by what I don't know. I have to gain knowledge or understanding and take what I do know and use that to help me to do something else. Isn't that right? Well, God has a plan for us. He knows things that we don't know. So how important is it to be led by him, not by externals? Outside voices, things. How many of you know this? Every voice you hear isn't the voice of God. Just because you heard a voice doesn't mean it's God. It could be the voice of experience. You know, I never touch electric fences because I have. I don't need the voice of God to tell me not to touch an electric fence. The voice of Rob is loud enough in that case because my experience tells me that that's a bad idea. Amen? But instead of reacting or instead of rushing, the more we're spirit-led, the less mistakes we make. The second thing we said to you was this, be spirit-led instead of needing everything to make sense. I don't need everything to make sense to my natural mind. We talked about 2 Kings, the story of Naaman and Elisha. We talked about Joshua, where they marched around the city. We talked about when Jesus told the disciples to launch out in the deep for a catch. They'd been fishing all night. There are some things that won't make sense. I don't need everything to make sense to my natural mind if I learn to listen to the Spirit of God, because, like we said, He knows more than we do. I don't have to know it all. I just have to hear His voice. And if I can hear His voice, He leads me. And if I'll go on that path, even when things don't make sense, I still hold steady. How valuable it is to learn to be steady in the midst of all the voices that we may hear. The third point we made was this, be spirit-led instead, knowing that our provision is in the place that God leads us. Pastor has a message that he teaches called A Place Called There. And when you look at Elijah, the story of Elijah, that God told him, he said that I commanded the ravens to feed you there. Too many times I think we're looking for the provision instead of for the place. But the scripture tells us this, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. If we're looking for the thing, we're missing it, because you'll find the thing in a place called there. Wherever God has called you to, that's where the provision that you need is. Too many people will make a decision and they'll follow a voice that says, hey, we've got a great job over here in this place. You should come over here because there's lots of money there. But if you go because there's lots of money in a job there, then you just told me and the enemy what it is that it takes to lead you, money and a job. But I'm not led by the provision. I'm led to where God says go. And if I'm led to where God says go, I don't have to look for the provision. The provision for what I need will meet me there. Amen? Then we said this, lastly, we said, be spirit-led instead by following the inner witness. And we read some scriptures to you. I'm going to read them over to you again real quick about what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, the inward witness. He said this, Jesus said that I'll pray the Father in John 14:16. And He said, and He'll give you another helper. And we know that word means a comforter, a counselor, all the things that the Holy Spirit is to us. John 14:17, He said, He dwells with you and He will be in you. That's onboard assistance. Amen. John 14:26 says, He will teach you all things. John 14:26 also says, He'll bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. We're going to see this evening, you know, He said He'll bring to your remembrance all the things I said to you. We'll see why the Word of God is so important. I believe we limit the Spirit of God's vocabulary in our lives by not knowing what the Word says. I didn't say His vocabulary is limited. I just said it's limited in our lives. Because if we don't know what the Word says, He's not going to lead us apart from the Word of God. So if we understand and we know the Word of God, then when He begins to speak to us, we hear His voice more clearly. Amen? We said this, the Holy Spirit primarily leads us through the inward witness. It's not always a voice, not always dramatic, but it's always supernatural. Primarily, you hear from Him by the inward witness or the inward voice. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. Sometimes, you know, it just seems good. You've heard it said that way. It seems good. Seems like a green light. Brother Hagin used to describe it as a light, like a yellow light, a red light, and a green light. It just seemed good. Or I had a green light. Or maybe I had a caution light. Maybe I don't move forward there. But that's an inward witness, just an inward knowing. But also the inward voice. Romans 9:1 says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Our inward man has a voice. Brother Hagin said in the book, How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God, this isn't for me. This is something you can find. If you haven't read that book in a while, I went back and I was reading that book as I was studying these notes. But he said, our inward man has a voice just like our outward man. We call the inward man's voice the conscience or the still small voice. We have to train ourselves to pay attention to peace, to recognize checks and follow promptings. What am I getting on the inside? More importantly than all the externals. And when we gave you a demonstration, we were talking about how the mind affects, although we understand this, God doesn't speak to our mind, he speaks to our spirit. We know that from Scripture. But a clouded mind causes us to hear him less clearly. And we played last time that I was speaking on this, I played an audio of radio static. And as the radio static began to drop lower and lower, there was a voice underneath the radio static that was saying, I picked out a Bible verse and it said, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work whereunto I called them. But the thing that I pointed out was the vocals that said that in that audio that I played, they were there the whole time. You just couldn't hear it for the noise. And I would say to you that God is speaking to us all the time. When we need guidance, he's always providing it. Because the scripture promises us that. Jesus told us that he would guide us into all truth. He would show us things to come. But many times the noise in our own minds prevents us, all the voices, all the things prevent us from hearing clearly. Romans 8:5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So what we set our minds to will help us to be able to clearly hear what God is speaking to our spirits. Then Romans 8:6 says, I read this scripture to you last time, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Mind, that word definitionally means to set your attention or your affection and focus. So it's not just a behavior, it's what we continually think about. And if we're constantly have this barrage of thoughts coming at us all the time, and God is speaking to our spirit by the inward witness or the inward voice, we've got all these other voices that are clouding the audio that we're trying to hear clearly from what God is speaking to us on the inside of us. But if you read over in Romans chapter 12, where it says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good. And I always thought that word meant prove, like I'm going to demonstrate, but the word prove there means discern. That we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds that we may discern what is the will of God. If I want to be able to discern clearly what God is speaking to me, I have to renew my mind. This idea of one of the greatest lessons that I learned here was through Pastor Hagin teaching us that the natural and the supernatural coming together create an explosive force for God. Our body is the natural. Our spirit man is connected to God. When we're born again, our mind has a foot in both realms. Because we can gather signals in our minds from the flesh, or we can gather signals in our minds from the spirit. And if we don't renew our minds, our default mode will be the natural side. But when we bring the natural side, and that's the part that it requires us to do the effort, when we bring the natural side to the supernatural, that's what creates an explosive force for God. If I renew my mind, if I change my thinking, what I'm doing, you know, at your house, when you're trying to plug into the power, you don't pull the outlet to the cord. You take the cord to the power source. And so the natural side of hearing from God in our spirits is we do the natural side by renewing our minds with the Word of God and keeping our flesh under. That's our natural side, so that we're not trying to pull the power over to us. God, bring it here. No, we're saying I'm taking myself to where the power source is so that the lights come on. So that I get the illumination that I need. Amen? We have to discern what is the good and perfect will of God. So here are some ways. I wanted to talk to you tonight about some ways that we increase our ability to hear from the Holy Spirit. The first one is this, and these are things that I know that you know, but I think they're things that we need to be reminded of. The first one is this, to meditate in the Word of God. In order for the Word to change our thinking, it must move beyond information to revelation. Now, what's the difference between that? Information is all of the services that I sat in where I heard somebody tell me a truth, but it never registered on my spirit. There was a time, it's been many years ago, but I was struggling financially and I was talking to God about that. I was a giver. I was a tither. I tithed so much I had the eye of the tither. But I didn't have any money. Sarah didn't want me to tell these jokes, but I'm going to do it anyway. I was so poor, my baloney didn't have a first name. I was so broke, I'd go to the park and the ducks would throw bread at me. I was so broke, a guy broke into my house and the only thing he got was experience. At the time, I was lacking, but I was a giver. I was a tither, and I was beating my chest one day telling God how good I was. And I was mad at God. And you know, he'll put up with you. He was real gracious. But I was like, you know, God, I'm a tither. I give. And I can't pay for these things that I need in my life, these things that I want. And I believe that you want to take care of. I know your word says that you'll meet all of my needs. And right on the inside, when I got quiet for just a minute, he said, where? And I went, the next thing I heard was, find 10 places in my word where I told you I'd meet your needs. I know now there's a lot more than that. But I had only heard other people tell me that. That was information. But God was trying to get me to understand I needed revelation from his word. I had to get in the word of God for myself, hide the word of God in my heart, meditate on God's word and get it down into my spirit and into my mind so that whenever I needed something, I could stand on it because I couldn't get it on somebody else's faith. Amen? We have to meditate on the word. Joshua 1:8 teaches that. Meditation, it says this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you'll meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all this. That's that natural side again. You meditate in it day and night that you observe to do. That's the natural and the supernatural coming together. That you observe to do. You meditate that you may observe to do all that is written therein. For then you'll make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. We have to speak the word. We have to repeat the word. We have to think deeply on the word. We have to turn it over internally. The Holy Spirit is not going to lead us contrary to what the scripture says. If you got some voice telling you to do something and you can't find it in scripture, that's the wrong voice. A clear indicator is, does it line up with what God's word says? And not some scripture taken out of context, but the whole counsel of God. What is the whole counsel of God's word says? And if we only know one scripture, in the middle of a battle, if the only scripture you know is Jesus wept, you're in a world of hurting. Because you'll just be sitting there crying too. Thank you for the rousing burst of silence. The word can help to tune our spirits like adjusting that radio that we talked about. It's the fine tuning that clearly helps us to get the signal right. So we meditate on the word. Here's the second thing. Practice the word daily. Spiritual sensitivity grows through obedience. James 1:22 through 26 says this. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If you're just a hearer, you're just deceiving yourself. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. If you're not a doer, you're just a hearer, you're just deceived. When you think I got it all together, we don't. Because it's not the hearer of the word, it's the doer. Amen? For anyone, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. It's like walking in love. Walking in love is not the same as knowing that I should. Isn't that right? Walking in love is being a doer. Knowing I should walk in love is a hearer only. And you're deceived. Amen. I was just here. I thought if you wasn't going to give me one, I was. Walking in love is a doer of the word. Knowing you should walk in love is a hearer. How does that work? Well, just look at it in the natural. Ribeye steak on the grill. Charcoal, hickory smoke, seasoned well. You still hungry? It's because you're just a hearer. We hadn't eaten any steak yet. But if we cook that steak, we leave here and we eat that, now I'm a doer of that steak, not just a hearer. And a hearer of a steak will starve to death. Okay. Don't like that? Many believers want to hear, but they don't want to do. And so they have clarity, but then they ignore what God has already said and they become confused because all these other voices kick in. They know what they should do, but they don't do what they should do. Like the man, you probably heard this story before about the man who was out hiking and he fell over the side of a cliff and he caught onto a stick and he's hanging there and he's like, help me, somebody help me. Somebody help me. He's just hanging on for dear life and he finally says, God, if you're there, I need you to help me. And he hears a booming voice from heaven say, trust me, let go. And he pauses. And he says, is there anybody else up there? Lots of us will hear from God. We'll see what the word says to do. But unless we're a doer of that word, unless we put it into action, nothing changes. We want to increase our sensitivity. When we hear the word, we have to take action on the word. Amen? Every time we obey the leading of the Lord, our spirit becomes sharper and our discernment becomes clearer. So we meditate the word. We practice the word. Here's the third one. We give the word first place. Whatever dominates our attention eventually influences our spirit. Make a decision that if there's something contrary, that I'm staying with the word. If I get a contrary voice, if a thought comes to me that is counterwise of what I know for the scripture, I have to make a decision. I'm going to accept one and reject the other. Am I going to stand on God's word and say, let God be true and every man a liar? Or am I going to make a decision to waver off of what I know? Because now I've got these other thoughts. What if I don't make it? You know, if our life is constantly filled with other things, if you're filled with drama, if you're filled with anxiety, if you're filled with anger, my Lord, might as well say, if you get on social media, you know how social media works. You understand how social media works, right? There's a video that Facebook put out a number of years ago called The Facebook Algorithm in 3 Minutes. What you're seeing in your feed right now is a result of where you've been. Because the way that the algorithm works is if I see something in my feed and I go and I check it out, Facebook says, oh, you must like that. You'll probably like this too. And if you go to that, oh, you'll probably like this too. Pretty soon, your whole feed. That's actually what happened during the last election cycle, previous to the one that we just had, the last national election cycle. What happened was the social media content on Facebook became echo chambers. And people thought everybody believed like they believed because social media was just feeding them all the content that looked the same. But there was a whole nother world out there that didn't believe any of that and looked a certain way. And it was totally opposite of that. And it was a totally different side of the political aisle. What you constantly feed on in any area. If you have drama, drama, drama in your family all the time, you're a drama llama. You just drama, drama, drama all the time. I got all this drama in my life. Everything that you see will be drama. Everything, you'll see drama. If it's anger, 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 you'll be mad about everything. What if we put the word in us? Then everything would be connected to what does the word say about this? Amen? So we have to meditate on the word, practice the word, give the word first place, make it the final authority. Number four, instantly obey the inward witness. We have to instantly obey the inward witness. Many believers miss God's leading because they're looking for something spectacular. They need a booming voice from heaven, but all we need is the guide on the inside. If we'll just shut down other voices and just listen to the still small voice, we'll have the answer. God told us we'd have the answers. Amen? Sometimes your spirit just doesn't settle right about something. And other times there's peace and confidence. Go with the peace on the inside. Go with what you're getting in here, not what you're getting up here. It's why Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. Illumination comes from our spirit, not from our mind. God illuminates and guides us through our inward man. The inward witness is not undue pressure, and it's not panic. It's peace, it's restraint, it's confidence, and it's an inward knowing. And it's the gift for every believer. The scripture tells us we're being endued with power. Every believer is born of the Spirit. So we have a measure of the Spirit of God on the inside to provide us guidance. But there is another experience subsequent to that salvation, and this is my final point, is this. Spend time praying in the Spirit. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, get filled with the Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but like, you know, somebody told me after church, if two people came up to me, one of you said, hey, come with me to QT, and I'm going to get you a half a tank of gas. And somebody else said, if you'll come with me to Maverick, I'm going to get you a full tank. Guess where I'm going? If I can have a half a glass of tea or a full glass of tea, a full glass of tea is better. Praying in the Holy Spirit will help us stay in tune with what God is saying to us. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit before you leave, when we have an altar call tonight, you should be. You should come down with our altar care team, and you should get filled with the Spirit so that you can pray in other tongues. Praying in the Spirit strengthens our inward man. It quiets mental clutter. It reduces emotional dominance. It increases spiritual awareness. It builds sensitivity to God. Praying in the Spirit strengthens our inward man and helps a believer become more spirit conscious than soul conscious. It helps us to quiet our mind, and our spirit man begins to take over, and we begin to hear God speaking to us clearly. 1 Corinthians 14 says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. When we pray in the Spirit, we're quieting the mental clutter. We're reducing emotional dominance, and we're increasing our sensitivity. Jude wrote this, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. When I pray in the Holy Spirit, there are times, like all of us get in these situations, these circumstances, where things come up in our lives, and we're not hearing as clearly as what we do at other times. But if we'll take time to pray in the Spirit, if we've been meditating in God's Word, He'll begin to speak clearly to us. I remember one day I was on my way to preach at a church. God will use this process to help us to minister to other people. I was on my way to a church, and I had my notes prepared, and I'm praying in the Holy Ghost on the way to this meeting. And as I'm driving, I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, and the Lord said, I don't want you to teach on that. I want you to teach this. And He gave me four real quick points, and He gave me some scriptures, and I wrote it on a little receipt. And when I got there, it was a salvation message. I'm like, these people are born again. I got in there, And I couldn't get away from it. So I just got up and I preached this message. And there was one man in that room that I had gone to high school with. And I preached that message. It was his wife's church, and he never attended church. And God ministered to him in that moment, and his heart was melted. And he ran to the altar, and he got born again. And it was because I was listening to the Spirit of God on the inside. God will use you being led by the Spirit to minister to the needs of other people. But he'll also minister to your needs. The other day, I was working on these notes, and I had a lot of stuff going on here. You know, we do things other than just study all the time around here. You know, when I came here and they offered me a position here, I thought, man, I'll just get to study all the time. That's it. No, I didn't. I'm just kidding. We have other things that we do. And I had lots of other duties, and my mind was beginning to get cluttered. And I didn't like what was going on. Here I am. I'm trying to tell people how to be led by the Spirit, and my mind is just cluttered. And so I started praying in the Holy Ghost. And as I was praying in the Holy Ghost in my office, I mean, we didn't have a Holy Ghost meeting. I wasn't running around, just praying in the Holy Spirit. These words came up on the inside of me. I will quiet my mind. I will quiet my mind. I will quiet. And so I started saying it over and over. I will quiet my mind. I will quiet my mind. I will quiet my mind. And pretty soon, the Lord gave me another line. I'll leave all worries behind when I quiet my mind. I will quiet my mind. I will quiet my mind. I'll leave all worries behind when I quiet my mind. I will quiet my mind. I heard these words. Thoughts of doubt and fear come. Try to keep me from rest. But when I quiet my mind, I hear God's Spirit the best. So I will quiet my mind. I will quiet my mind. I leave all worries behind when I quiet my mind. When the enemy comes and puts me to the test, I will focus on Jesus and I'll enter God's rest. I will quiet my mind. I will quiet my mind. I leave all worries behind when I quiet my mind. The wind and waves, they can't move me if I'll quiet my mind. And if I'm led by my Spirit, greater peace will I find. I will quiet my mind. I will quiet my mind. I leave all worries behind when I quiet my mind. If we'll learn to meditate on God's Word and we'll quiet our minds, there's a rest and a peace that we can experience that won't get us shaken off of our faith. And we'll say in the face of whatever comes, I will not be moved. Amen. Just stand to your feet. I went over 1 minute on Hour of Power and my boss is here. Let's see what y'all did. I want to pray for you a general prayer, and then I want to invite you. The altar care team is going to come. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost and you have to just speak in another tongues tonight, I want to encourage you to come down and let these people pray with you. If you need Jesus, if you're watching online and you need Jesus, you're not born again, I want to tell you God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you and to give you a better life than you could ever experience without him. If you'll ask him to come in, he'll forgive you and he'll cleanse you of everything and make you righteous before him. All you have to do is ask him to come in. And that goes for you. If you're here today and you need a know-so experience in your life, I need to know that I know that if I left the earth, that I'd go to heaven. If you're here for the very first time tonight and you never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't leave here without taking Jesus with you, because him on the inside is way better than you on the outside. On any of those, I'm going to pray a general prayer on any of those things. If you need Jesus, you need a know-so experience, you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in other tongues. When we exit, I want you to come down here and see the altar care workers. Men, come to the men. Ladies, come to the ladies. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for these people. I thank you for ministering to every heart in this place tonight. That if there's anyone that doesn't know you, if there's anyone who needs to be filled with your Holy Spirit, that they wouldn't leave here, there'd be an unrest in them until they make things right. Thank you, Father God, for meeting them right here in this place this evening. We give you praise and glory for your faithfulness to us all. In Jesus' name we pray. If you believe that, say amen. Pastor, is there anything else? God bless you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you on Sunday. Love you.